I'm going to, and I do this all the time, I have some people, I know that they love me, and I know that they care about me, and they are concerned about us and our ministry, and they tell me some things sometime, and when more than one of them say that to me, I begin to pay it some attention, and I can change a lot of things. But I can't change me. God will have to change me. And when you stand in this place and you do it from the depths of your heart, you will say or you will do some things that if you take it up close and personal, it will hurt your feelings. I won't change that. Because to me, it's what God put in my heart. And if I don't say it, I'm a liar. And somewhere in his word, it said, he said, a liar will not tarry in his sight. And when God change me, I'll change. And if you have known me for more than one or two days, you will know that I have changed. Because in my yesterdays, I didn't care nothing about none of you. Just one or two, those that were my family up close and personal. But now, because God have changed me, you don't have anything to do with me loving you. You can't stop me, and you can't help me. I'm going to love you in spite of yourself and in spite of me. I just love you. Because that's what God did for me. If Jesus would not have died for me while I was a sinner, I would still be on my way to hell, if not already there. But he loved me, and he died for me, a wretch like me. Going to talk about me today, and I'm going to talk about me from the book of Judges. That man in there, Gideon, could very easily be me, and don't you look at me too harsh, because it could very easily be you, if not you. In this introduction to this man called Gideon, he's not introduced to us as a hero or an outstanding man. I know most of you Bible scholars right now know what he was doing. He was thrashing wheat by the wine press. And the wine press is the key to this entire situation. The wine press in that day was always put at the foot of the hill because they brought the grapes down to the wine press, down the hill. It's easier to take a heavy load downhill than it is to take a heavy load uphill. They carried them to the lowest place. In contrast to the threshing floor, the threshing floor was always put on top of the hill. Are you still with me? The highest hill that was available in order to catch the wind, which would drive the chaff away. Here is this place where we find this man by the name of Gideon, down at the bottom of a hill thrashing wheat. And I thought about some kind of way to get something to show y'all how you thrash it, but I know most of you probably know it, understand it. He got a great big pitchfork, and he would take the wheat and scoop it up and throw it up in the air. And the wind would take the chaff out of it. It would clean it. Some of us are old enough to remember when you used to get a whole bunch of green peanuts sometime. You would have to throw them and thrash it and let the wind take the little leaves and the trash out of it. That's what Gideon was doing. But brothers and sisters, he was doing it at the wrong place in a wine press. There had to be a reason why he was doing that in a wine press. I know I didn't tell you what the subject of this is. And I did that intentionally. I'm fixing to tell you now. Prayer and doubt. That's an odd combination, isn't it? When you are holy and sanctimonious, it's a bad subject. But when you are truthful to yourself, you throw up both hands and you say, Lord, here I stand. I'm praying to you, but I'm doubting whether you can do anything about it. Y'all probably never been there, but I have been there a whole bunch of days praying and talking to God and didn't believe in that he was going to do it because I didn't trust him enough to think that he could or he would. He could do it for somebody else, but could he do it for me? Prayer and doubt. That's where Gideon was, brothers and sisters. He was a man fixing to get ready for God, but he was not yet ready to do what God had for him to do. Prayer and doubt, an odd combination, but they will go together every now and then. Every now and then. Prayer and doubt. You can take and shake them up, and they'll work together for just a little while. But if you let them set long enough, help me, Holy Ghost, it'll come back out and it'll separate itself. The prayer will go one way and the doubt will go the other way because they just don't go together. But we as people, we have them at the same place sometime. Or when you're real with yourself, when you look in the mirror at yourself and you talk truthful to yourself, you know that you have prayed to God for something. And you doubted whether God was going to do it. And she didn't tell me this, and I didn't think about this until just now. I believe. I don't know for sure. But somewhere down the line, when my wife was praying for me, because she'd been praying a long time, doubted whether God was going to be able to do anything about it, or whether I was going to allow God to do anything about it. See now, As y'all won't have to help me out. As she walks with God all the time, talks to him all the time. I go to bed at night, sleep at night, get into bed and wake up. She's still up. So why can't God bring him on in? You know, I'm not saying she was doubting God, but she was doubting whether I was going to listen to him. Or whether I was going to allow him to bring me. See, we have. And can I just tell you? We don't tell anybody that we have doubt when we're praying. I'm looking at some of y'all. As long as I've been praying for you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, I doubt it. Whether God could do anything about it. And some of you probably doubt it whether God could do anything with me. But I stop by to tell you, if we doubt and we still continue to pray, the doubt and the prayer will do just like the oil and the water. All right. If you stay there long enough, they'll separate and go their own way. Yes, if you continue to pray and talk to God, I promise you that God will do just what he said he would do. Or if you're living with him and you're walking with him, God will provide just what you need. If you got that wayward child, don't stop praying for him. Just keep right on praying. And God will bring it to pass. But you got to be faithful. You got to stand on the word of God. And God love for you to call his promises to him. This one I always said, I said, God, you promised me that you would not leave me and that you would not forsake me. God, and I'm calling on you right now. I feel just like I'm by myself. I ain't got nobody with me. God, will you come by to see about me? Let me tell you this experience that I had. I was going through something, and this is about 15 or 20 years ago when IGA was opened up on the corner where the Mexican restaurant is now. They had a Pepsi machine out there, and and I was going through some stuff and stopped by there several times and put my 50 cent in that machine and got a Pepsi. And the first time it happened, I got a Pepsi and I turned and walked away and out come another Pepsi. I went back and I got two for the price of one and I put it in the truck and went on to the house. And I come back by another day. I said, God, I said, if you're with me, I'm going to put this 50 cent in this machine. And will you let another Pepsi come out when I leave? Listen to me. Laugh if you want to. But God will stop to see about you. I put the 50 cent in the machine, pressed the button, got a Pepsi, stood there for about 10 or 15 or 20 seconds waiting on the other one to come, and it did not come. I turned and walked away and got to my truck, opened the door, picked up my right foot and put it in the truck, and I heard clinker clink. I went back and I got the Pepsi and I said, God, you all right? Listen to me. Listen to me. After God had done what he said, I stopped by there 2 or 3 weeks later, put my 50 cent in there, expecting two Pepsis. I didn't get but one. I stopped by there for the next 4 or 5 months, putting 50 cent in there just to see if I was going to get another one. And God did not do it because he had done what I asked him to do. I stopped by to tell you that you can pray and have doubt that God will do just what he said, but continue to pray. And if you continue to pray, God will provide just what you need. I got to get on with this. But listen, Gideon was thrashing wheat. Listen. God will provide just what you need. The children of Israel was in trouble because they had turned and walked away from God. Listen now, when you turn and you walk away from God, God still got you in his eyesight. You're not out of his eyesight, but you have turned your back on God. And that's where the children of Israel were. The Midianites had come in and had enslaved them and was taking everything they owned. That's why Gideon was trying to hide from the Midianites. He wasn't trying to hide from God, but he knew if he went up on top of the hill and thrashed the wheat, they would see him and they would come and they would take it away from him. He was a coward, y'all. And when you read the word, I got this in my notes, so I'm going to tell you this in my notes. I always tell you that God has a sense of humor. God got a sense of humor. Hey, this man is a coward. And when you read those verses, God called him a man of valor. Don't you see her comedy in that? Ain't that funny? God calling a coward a man of valor. A man of valor takes no stuff off of nobody. If he was a true man of valor, he'd have been up on the mountaintop thrashing the wheat and said, come, whoever will, I'll take care of you. But he was a coward. God has a sense of humor. That's why sometimes some church folks can't make it with God because they don't smile. The face stays so rigid. If they would smile, the face would crack. They tell me that it takes more muscles to smile than it does to frown. See, God has a sense of humor. And listen to me, you can take it over into the New Testament. Jesus had a sense of humor. He told somewhere, I think it's in Matthew somewhere, that it's easier for that they'll gag on a gnat and swallow a camel. And think about a camel and think about a gnat. That's funny, y'all. You might not have a spiritual humor, but now think about a little gnat. And you swallow that and it gags you. But you take a camel. Got rough knees, got big wide feet, and got a hump on his back. And you can swallow that better than you can a gnat. Come on now. See, God has a sense of humor, but we want to make him. That's not too religious, so we don't do that here. We do that somewhere else. No. God covers all areas. Gideon was down in the wine press thrashing wheat. Now, think about this. And this is the way I made myself understand this morning and last night. I said it was hard, and Gideon had taken off his shirt, and he was thrashing that wheat, and the chaff would get on you sometime when you're thrashing it, because when you throw it up, you got to stay there and wait for it to come down, because the other stuff, the chaff got to go out, and some of that chaff was getting on him, and I just saw him sweaty, and that chaff just sticking to him. And he's standing there throwing it up and getting it. And you heard him when he read it. And he said in verse 11, I think he said, and the angel appeared unto him. He was so busy thrashing wheat, didn't even take notice of the angel. Angel of the Lord sitting over there waiting on him. See, God will come see about you. And he'll come see about you sometime when you don't think that it's time. Gideon was running from other people, but he was right where? Help me, Holy Ghost. Where God needed him to be. See, when we get to a place where nobody else can help us, then we are susceptible to receive God. Because I done tried everybody else. Nobody else seemed to be able to help me. But now I'm in a position where I will receive him, and he shows up, sends an angel to talk to me. And the angel talks to him and tells him what he's going to do. He said, He tells Gideon that I come and you're going to do something. Thee is one person and it's singular. Gideon was worried about the whole nation of Israel. And that's not bad, but see, sometimes God got to deal with you one-on-one. He had to deal with Gideon about Gideon. And Gideon was thinking about the whole nation. And God wanted Gideon to think about Gideon. Yes, sir. Well, Baggett, why are you telling us that? God don't want you thinking about everybody when he's trying to work on you. God can work on everybody else by working on you. If you keep your mind on everybody else rather than you, God can't do what he needs to do. Gideon was worrying about the nation of Israel, and God was worrying about him doing what he needed him to. Gideon, I will save these people through you. You can do this. You can do this. There are some things that you can do for God before God fix you to do something with everybody else. You got to get ready first. Gideon had to accept God on the term that God was coming to him on. You can't make a deal with God. God does not play let's make a deal. It's a done deal. Whatever he said, that's it. Whether I believe it or not, that's it. You can't change it. And God's not going to change his plan because of Dwight Baggett. I might try, but God's not going to change his plan. Gideon was told what to do. But he had a problem with doing what thus saith the Lord. That's where the doubt come in. And don't y'all think too harsh of Gideon. All you got to do is be truthful with yourself. You have doubted God as well. I told you about one of my episodes, doubting whether God was there. I know now that he was there. He answered me when I asked him to answer me. And I put a lot of quarters in that machine over there. And two Pepsis have not come out. One time. It wasn't the same machine, but two Pepsis have not come out for the price of one. I didn't ask him over there. But the first time, I told you, the first time it happened, I didn't ask him. But I went back, and when I asked him the next time, it happened. It happened. Maybe not when I expected it to. See, sometimes God has to do things to get your attention. Uh-huh. Then when he gets your attention, you'll be looking for it the next time. And then he still won't come when you expect him to. But he'll come in his time. In his time, he will come. Gideon did not hear God on a personal note. He heard him on a cooperative note for the nation of Israel. And God wanted him to hear him personal. God wanted that assurance that he was listening to him. See, we need to pray and not doubt. We need to pray expecting God to answer us when it's in his time. God will come see about you. But you have to live the way for God to answer you. You cannot get a paycheck from First National Bank if you work at Compass Bank. You have to work at First National to get a check for working at First National. If you work someplace else, that's where you need to get your check. If you're trusting in Satan and then talk to God when you need something, let Satan pay you. That's who you're working for. Let him pay you. Prayer and doubt. Do not doubt God. Doubt is well, maybe, no, I don't think. Well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, so he won't do it. And just because you doubt, it does not mean that God have left you. It means one thing, that you have got to get just a little bit closer to him. You got to trust him just a little bit more. At those things that you are asking him for, just let everybody else leave it alone. And you and God work it out. And I know it's good to have prayer partners, praying brothers and sisters. It's good to have them. But sometimes, they don't even need to know. Because God is doing a work in you. When we pray and doubt, God is getting ready to move us to a different level. And the doubt is there because it's hard for me to move to another level. It's hard to get out of my comfort zone where I'm comfortable. Just come to church one song, one prayer, one offering, another song, then altar call, and then a song, and then the message, and then the invitation, and then go home. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable there. Don't take me out of my comfort zone. Let me stay in my comfort zone. Don't come having two or three prayers in devotion. Just let the deacons line one hymn and let the deacon line the hymn that I like most of all. And let the deacon that I like line the hymn. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We want to be comfortable. Preacher, stand behind the roster. Start preaching at 12 o'clock. Be through at 12:25. I'm comfortable there. I can be at Ryan's and out by 1:30. That's what I need to do. I'm comfortable there. Don't sing a song too long. You can give me two prayers, but let them be short prayers. Don't read a long scripture. The longer scripture you can make and read that I know anything about it, maybe the 23rd Psalms. Don't. I'm comfortable there. I don't want to leave there, but I'm doubting God and I'm keeping him in a box. God comes in the volume of the whole book. You can't fence him in. You can't put God in a box. When you try to box him, you mess up and you miss something. Stand up. Come around here so they can see you. Hold it. My granddaddy was a coffee drinker. He would take his coffee and he had a saucer under it. He would pour the coffee and he intentionally ran it over. But he had a saucer there. Now, don't leave. Stay there. What we want God to do with us is fill our cup. But we have a small cup. And when God get ready to fill our cup, it overflows. And we think we have missed something. You have not missed anything. Because what he said was that nothing will go waste. Whose towel is this? It's mine. What was overflowed? Who got it? I got it. If God overflows with me, it will not go to waste because I, with my towel, will lap it up. My granddaddy would take and he would slurp that coffee out of that saucer. He would not waste it. Why are you telling us this, bag? When the Holy Spirit comes and he overflows and he make you stay longer than 12:30. He make you stay longer than 12:30. Don't worry about staying longer than 12:30. Just have a towel and wrap it up because you can take it with you. See, next week, when you need some strength, the Holy Spirit that you thought that was an overflow, you will have that to use to get you through next week. But you wanted to leave. You didn't know what God had for you. You were in doubt whether it was any good. What good is it doing me to stay here? I got to go. But you don't know what's good for you. We need to stay with God. Although we pray and we may have doubt, stay there with the doubt. The doubt is what will get you through. Prayer with doubt. Doubt will build courage in you. Courage is the ability to go ahead when I am yet afraid, when I yet don't understand what God is doing with me. I got to go with him because I doubt myself. Listen to me. I keep telling you, I don't know anything about anybody else's life but mine. I am a person, it might not seem like it if you walk in my office, it might not look like it. I'm a person of order. My order might not be like your order, but it's my order. God's been dealing with me about my notes. And I talked to Minister Allen about staying with your notes all the time. So you'll stay with what God showed you wanted. And God showed me the other week that I was depending too much. I'm teaching him what to do, but God's showing me that I'm depending too much. See, God showed me that last word in that subject wasn't for nobody else but me. I doubted whether God was equipping me to preach his word. And I got my notes right here. Got them all right here. Right there. But God said, you're doubting me. Do it. But don't think you got to stay right with it. Do it and trust in me, and I will get you through. But when you get yourself through, you're doubting God. Doesn't matter how saved you think you are, you can yet doubt God, and God will show you. I keep telling us that God shows me in his word. Did y'all hear how I said that a while ago about ministry? I'm trying to teach him to not stay with his notes all the time. And didn't realize to God I was doing the same thing. Yeah. God'll fix you. God'll fix you. Where you become transparent so people can see that God is yet doing things in our lives. He's not through with us yet. As long as we are breathing, he's not through with you. God, and this is, you messing with me. This is, he really got me. The first Sunday in last month, we were at Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church for the choir union. I was sitting up there real comfortable. They were just about through singing, and then the pastor leans over there and tells me, will you do the response? And y'all know my favorite word always is yes. I had no notes. I had no notes. And that's when God worked with me. I got up there and I looked at, I did write down the name of the songs. I wrote down them down. But then God dealt with me. I got up and I talked. I don't know how long I talked. I talked too long, I think. But the Holy Spirit moved. And after I did that, on the way back home, driving by myself, just me and him. Him is God. He said, see what you did? And if I hadn't have known, I would have said something. So, who are you talking to? Are you talking to me? But I didn't. But I didn't, because I knew nobody wasn't there but me and him. And I said, yes. He said, that's, you need to just preach my word. Study just like you always study. But teach my word. Teach my word. Teach my word. And don't depend on this. I asked him if I could still do this. Write it. Because when I write things, they stay with me. They stay with me when I write things. And I asked him if I could do that. That's why I did this. And when you pray and you have doubt, it does not mean that God have left you or that you are wrong in your praying. You are just growing. You are a work in progress. You remember that big yellow shirt when I'm under construction? That's the way all of us are. We are all yet under construction. God's not finished with any of us yet. So we need to pray, and when there's doubt, continue to pray. Don't quit. Always, always stay in prayer. And it does not mean that doubt will not come in, but you don't need to live at a place called doubt. Doubt does not need to become your residence. Every time you pray, you don't need to be doubting God. But there are times when us as believers, we will doubt God because of what we ask him to do. And me personally, when I doubt God, I'm trying to bring him to where I am. I'm trying to get him to be a man. And he's not a man. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. He's God. He's the one that spoke and everything came into existence. That's the God. We do not need to have doubt. We do not need to have doubt. We need to walk in the Spirit every day of our lives. We need to just walk in it. And I'm through. I'm through. If you want points, I got them here, but I'll give them to you. But that's it. And when we doubt, we are looking at ourselves. God does not see us as we see ourselves. He sees us as we are gonna be. He sees us in heaven with him. He sees us as eternal beings. He does not see you, the you that you are. We see all of our faults. God does not see our faults. And I can tell you why. Because he's looking through his son. And when he looked through his son, he does not even see me. He sees his son. And when he sees his son, I believe a smile just comes on his face. Because they are walking with him. And that's where we need to be. Prayer and doubt, they do go together, but they need to be separate. You will pray and you will doubt. And I don't want y'all thinking funny about me. If I knew everything about you that I knew about me, I could find where you had doubted as well. But I know everything about me. So I know that I have prayed that way, doubting God. Oh, but ask me now. Ask me now. Ask me now. Only thing I doubt God about is what I won't ask him. And I'll ask him anything that I think that he needs for me to do in this walk, in this walk. I'm gonna let you go, but let me tell you this. You are sitting in a building that there's doubt about because all of these empty pews that's in here today. I don't doubt because I've walked where this building is and seeing it full. We are getting ready to fix the other sanctuary where we can feed for an overflow. I'm praying. I'm expecting God to answer. Because he said, ask what you will. And I'm asking. And I'm not asking in myself. I'm asking in the name of Jesus. God, fill it with people that are coming to hear your word. People that are coming to get saved. People that are looking for a place to worship. That's what we need. That's what we need. And that's what God will supply. It needs to be. But God have to provide it. I do believe. When in 1909, when they built the first sanctuary, I believe they built it too big for the people that they had. But they built it expecting it to be full. If we were in that sanctuary over there today, y'all would be sitting scrunched. And some of you would say, I'm not coming back. Because I don't want to be bumping into somebody else. I don't want to be sitting next to a man and he bumping on my leg and I'm a woman. I think he may be trying to get fresh with me. Yes, uh-huh, yeah. Because of that. But God, pray not doubting. Pray expecting God to do what he said he would do. And he'll feel it. He'll feel it. But you got to pray. You got to pray. And when you pray, oh, you're going to have some doubt, but don't live there. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus,
as your Lord and Savior. This is your time.